Good morning and welcome to First United Methodist Church. We're happy you're here today. And we get to come to the Lord's table today on this first Sunday of a brand new year. I look forward to sharing with you from the Word and in the sacrament here at this table. And everyone is welcome to come and to receive at this table where Christ is the host and each of us is an equal guest. There are some announcements that I wanted to share with you as we begin our service today. First of all, Happy New Year. It's wonderful to get started fresh with something new, and I welcome you today, but I welcome you all year and every Sunday, and I also invite you to bring a friend. I miss you when you aren't here, and I would love for you to bring a friend and help us to fill these rows. Your neighbors, probably most of the people you know have a church home, and that's natural because you're church people. But I guarantee you that you meet people and are in contact with people every day at work this week or in your neighborhood who don't have a church home and who might just be waiting for an invitation from you. So we do get to come to the Lord's table today, and every person is welcome to join. I wanted you to note the announcements in our bulletin. East District Training Day is coming up on the 25th of January for leadership training. And everyone who is in a leadership place should come to that if it's at all possible. And contact me and we'll arrange some ride sharing. Contact the church office. Also, if you loaned a Christmas tree to the Mary Marketplace, please come get it. We'd like for those to be gone and not have to store them, so please come get it. Or if you need to donate it, you can donate it to the bargain box, of course. There are other things in our order of the week. Our Little Ark preschool starts back this week after a Christmas break, and I'd like to invite you to pray for them. Pray for our leaders. We've got some great folks down there that lead our children in the preschool, the pre-preschool, and in our childcare areas. We've got some great folks, and I hope you'll lift them in your prayers because they have challenging jobs sometimes, and they do a great work at it. And I do a little chapel service with the pre-K people and some of the younger ones that we do on Tuesday mornings, and I really enjoy that time, getting to spend time with them. They call me Pastor Sam, and so I get to do that, and you can think about us and lift us as we do that. Also, we've taken a break from our nursing home services. We do first Wednesday communion at both of our facilities, at Oak Manor and at Drawn's Country Home Estates. Oak Manor's at 10:30 in the morning, and Drawn's is at 2. And so we do both of those, and we do communion this week because today is a communion Sunday. With that in mind, I'd like to invite you to join us at one of those services and help us to serve the elderly ones, the sometimes forgotten ones in our community, and help us to honor them and to worship with them, which is kind of a neat thing to do. You've probably been hearing things in the press this week about the United Methodist Church again, and I just wanted to make a comment on that. I believe that the kingdom of God is broader than any denomination. It's broader even than the church, because God's reign and God's realm of influence includes all of creation. It's not just about the church. So who are we to argue over who's in and who's out at the church? Or even at the table of the Lord? Anyone is welcome here. Anyone is welcome to come and receive the fellowship of the church, to share in worship, to receive the sacrament of Holy Communion, and that goes for people of all ages. Oh yes, we teach confirmation training to our youth, but we don't make them wait until they're confirmed to receive the bread and the cup. It is for all God's creation, not just those who think we understand it, because after all, who can understand that level of grace? So when you hear in the press about struggles going on in the leadership of the United Methodist Church and the splitting of a denomination or whatever it is that we're going to do, help us to understand and help those near you to understand that God is with us and nothing will change that. It's not about winning and losing. It's about serving God faithfully and serving people faithfully in the name of God. And that is what we are about. There are other announcements in your bulletin. I'd invite you to pay attention to those that apply to you. And to now let us focus ourselves on the gifts and the grace of God, and let us worship God together.
If you would rise for number 240, Hark the Herald Angels Sing.
While you're standing, let's affirm our faith together with 883. And while you're turning to that, I wanted to tell you, first of all, that we're going to do the response 242, so you might look at that as well. It's Love Came Down at Christmas. And I wanted to just say that the reason that we use this creed called the Statement of Faith of the United Church of Canada is because it's such a sound theological creed. You may ask, and I've had people ask, why are we doing the Canadian Creed? Well, I want you to know that the United Church of Canada is made up of several Christian denominations that united because of their scarcity in Canada, especially in the western parts where the towns are a lot farther apart. So the UCC, the United Church of Canada, is made up of the United Methodist Church, of the Episcopal Church, and of the Presbyterian Church. So we have collaborated there in order to reach more people with a more solid body of Christ. So it is inclusive of the United Methodist Church and the United Methodist people. I wanted you to know that so that you not just feel like you're, you know, saluting a Canadian flag or something here when you read this. So let us make this our faith. Let us affirm it and let us say it together. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. So we don't have children's sermon this morning because it's a communion Sunday and we all get to come to the table. But we'll still greet one another, and as you do that, I invite you to begin with these words, "The Lord be with you." Let us greet one another with the love of the Lord. Let the ushers come down so that we can together worship God with our tithes and offerings. God, as we give of what you have so richly blessed us to earn and enabled us to share, we ask for your blessing upon these portions of those gifts which we now return unto you. Bless what we give. Bless what we bring, because it is already a gift from you. Make it to be good and make it to be enough that the work of your kingdom here in this place, in this community, and beyond may flourish. Amen.
6, Joy to the World.
Please take your seats. I'm glad you stood for that, because you can't sing Joy to the World like that sitting down. Our organ is a little bit on the fry. I think it just needs some work, and we're waiting on somebody to get that done, right? But John's playing the piano this morning, and I can imagine that what you played for the offertory was not to shepherds as they watched by night. Because it seemed very different than that, but it was lovely. So thank you for adjusting, and thank you all for singing with the piano. I feel like I can hear you better. There are prayers listed in our bulletin, and I'd like to call your attention to that page, the page there that has the names on it. And before I do that, I will mention this one card that I had from today. From the offering, as we offer our prayers, it is for Aaron Lefevers and family, it's from Janine, I believe. They are traveling, it's from Janine and Joel. This family is traveling to Tanzania to decide if they're going to commit to a long-term mission there. So that's a big deal. So let's remember to pray for the Lefevers family, Aaron and family. In addition, we're remembering the family of Jimmy Cameron, who passed. Jimmy has been an attender of First Service, so some of you won't know him probably, but you may. We also remember Randall Bunch, who is Shay Bunch's father. Shay and Jennifer and their little one Mason are new members of our congregation who attend the 8:45 service. We're also asked to pray for Dennis Wilkinson, who is struggling with health. Dennis and Linda, of course. And for Tom Dudley, who is a retired pastor from the Rocky Mountain Conference. He has been a faithful participant in our early service, and he struggles with cancer, but he also now has COPD, and so he says that's probably what's going to get him. He's not getting out anymore, so if you know Tom, give him a call, but if you don't know him, you can still lift him in your prayers. Of course, we remember Betty Castleberry and Donna Tavener from our continuing prayer lists. Those two both struggling with vital issues and both doing fairly well, I think, but needing our surrounding of prayers. I believe that's all the ones that I know of. Are there others that you would like to name? If so, I'd like for you to jot them down and give them to me, but Judy, go ahead. That's good to hear. Thank you. Judy West. Judy Rudolph says Judy West is in her own place and doing pretty well. So I'm glad to hear that. We'll continue to hold her up. Are there others? Then let's bow together and begin with silent prayer and pray together. Oh God, we love you and we lift you. We lift Christ and honor him, and we lift him as a little child, a little infant in the manger, but then as the Christ of our lives and of our faith, and as our coming and risen Lord and King. God, we thank you for the treasure that we have in Christ, that is God present in human form, that spirit of which continues to remain with us, risen and hopeful, leading us to resurrection as well. Oh God, we thank you and we love you, and we are preciously thankful for your loving us in Jesus so dearly. We lift these persons whom we have named in our hearts and in our prayers. We lift the families of faith that are associated with this congregation, whether by membership or just by having come in the door. We lift each one, along with all of our students from across the road, many of whom are at home with their own families, but who will be returning and who will be struggling to keep up with the semester and to find their success, their story, and hopefully their walk of faith. God, as we walk in this community, as we walk around the campus or around the square or around the hallways at school or even in the hallways here at this church, we trust that you can use us to be and become the light of the world. God, your light is so scattered out into all the churches of our community and all the people that sometimes it seems a little dim. But we pray that our light may be strengthened, may be kindled, may be collected, so that we can truly reflect the light of Jesus, the light of the world, into this needy place in our world. Oh God, we trust you more than we trust ourselves. And yet you have called us to bear that light, and we seek to do it boldly. Help us to turn it into a flame, to honor the symbol that we share of the cross and the flame, and to recognize that none of us can burn that brightly without the gift of your Spirit to dwell in us and to kindle us and to grow us into a roaring bonfire that will attract people, that will point the way to the warm hearts of the church because of the newborn King and the risen Savior. God, as we treasure this time together and as we come to the table today to break bread together and to share in the very life-giving of Jesus himself, we do so in the sure knowledge and affirmation and the hope that that brings, that Jesus is our Lord and that it is our place to share him and to point the way for others as well. God, we love you and we thank you for loving us in Jesus' name. And let all God's people say together, amen.
Today's reading comes from the book of John, chapter 1, verses 10 through 18. This can be found in your pew Bible on page 86. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks ahead of me, because he was before me.' From his fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known." The Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Oh,
I'd like to share with you from the book of Ephesians, from chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. This is very early in the letter of the Apostle Paul to the church of Ephesus, and it includes kind of an overview of his entire understanding of the mission of the church and of Christ. Listen to these words for the word of the Lord. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Just as He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before Him in love, He destined us for adoption as His children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of His glorious grace that He freely bestowed upon us in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace that He lavished upon us. With all wisdom and insight, He has made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure that He set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time to gather up all things in Him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Christ we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of Him who accomplishes all things according to His counsel and will, so that we who were the first to set our hope on Christ might live for the praise of Christ's glory. In Him you also, when you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in Him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance toward redemption as God's own people, to the praise of His glory. This, brothers and sisters, is the word of the Lord for the people of faith. Thanks be to God. If we stand in one spot for very long, just count us as moving backwards. Because as fast as things change around us, if we're standing still, we're going to be behind. And we might even get run over. We kind of got a little early start on Epiphany at Christmas time. Next Sunday, we celebrate the Epiphany and the coming of the wise men, the Magi, and the return of them to their homelands to share the story of the newborn king. Almost said the risen king. He's not risen yet in that story. But as we go about sharing the story, we too are wise. We too are royal in his life and in His blessing. So we got a little ahead because, well, I guess it's better to be ahead than to be behind. You get run over if you're behind. But I like to keep up, and I like to pedal as fast as I can to stay up. Everybody loves a good story. And the thrilling part of a story is the sequel. Some characters fade into the back in a story, and some rise to the front. But either way, a story is about something that has happened in the past. It's a known. But because of that story, the future is changed. And that is an unknown. We have shared the story of Christ and Christmas. We have shared the story. Well, we got a head start because on Christmas Eve I preached about the Magi. I preached about the kings who came. That wasn't until the Epiphany time. That was a little early for Christmas, and yet because so many people are here on Christmas Eve, I wanted them to hear that story, that it's not just about us to worship the baby in the manger. It's about us to tell the story, to go back to our own homelands, our own places, and to celebrate the story and to share it with others. So that was the aim of that, and fast forwarding a little bit. But as we come to the table today, we get another taste of what it's like to be in the presence of that little baby, even in the form of a piece of bread and a cup of the fruit of the vine. And then it's up to us to carry that story with us as we go to wherever we go. And with people in this room, no doubt there are lots of places throughout the week that would be impacted by that. The campus, City Hall, the schools, your own homes, your neighborhoods, your families, your extended family if you still have people in your house. So the story's past, but let me just say the story is future as well. We don't just tell it at Christmas and then be done. We continue to lift the story and to tell the story of God who comes to us, an unknown God in a way, who comes to us in a very known form, a precious infant in our arms, breathing and moving his eyes. That is God in human form, God in flesh. And I declare to you that God's Spirit is enfleshed in every one of us, not just in that little baby, because we bear his light. Well, Christ was the bearer of the light, and we reflect that light into the world. Our faces should shine with the glow of Christmas. Our spirits should overbubble with the joy of Christmas and the presence of this Lord in human form, this God become flesh to dwell among us and to make us new. What I wanted to share to you today, I'm going to just read a portion of it, and I'll let you read it for yourselves later, but Ephesians 1, 3 through 14 has at the end of it, near the end of it, that we are called to be an honor to God's glory because we were the first to receive hope in Christ, the first of the current times. You have heard the word of truth in Christ, which is the good news of our salvation, and we are sealed in the promise of the Holy Spirit because we believed in Christ. And then Paul says, the Holy Spirit is the down payment on our inheritance, which is applied toward our redemption as God's own people, resulting in the honor of God's glory. And the way that we continue to glorify God is by sharing that witness with others, by bearing the light of Christ, by reflecting it. If Jesus is the light of the world, then we are called to be mirrors and to light dark places. You ever seen how scouts are taught to make a campfire? I don't think they do it this way anymore because there's the magic of a pocket lighter that you can carry in your pocket easily now. Flick the bick, so to speak. But the way I was taught way back was to use a mirror and a magnifying glass, and to hold that in just such a way that the light of the sun shines through that mirror and ignites a little piece of paper or foil or some kind of wrapper that you have there that you can ignite with the light of that flame magnified. I think that that's a really good image. We are not the light, but we are called to reflect, maybe even to magnify that light. We say in the Psalms, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt His name together." Why not think of that as magnifying the light and of directing that light into a place where the warmth and glow of a good, beautiful campfire is really needed. A place where hearts are cold or lonely or discouraged, and a place where kindling a flame might make all the difference. Perhaps that would simply be for you. Kindling that flame might simply be inviting a neighbor or a friend or a co-worker to church to try to bring somebody into a flame of faith, into a flame where it's contagious and where each of us bear a little spark, and when we put it all together, there's a roaring campfire. Paul's sermon to the people of Ephesus included the words of "to a known God." That's the words that he used to talk about this God whom we cannot know intimately, but we can know confidently. This is the God whom we worship. This is the God whom we serve. And this is the God whose light is brighter than ours, whose light we reflect to the people on earth. And boy, do we need some bright lights. Our world can be dark. Some people are not happy and healthy and hopeful at Christmas time. Some people are just downright lonely and maybe even depressed. Some people in the world struggle to have company. That's why it's so wonderful that the light appeared to the shepherds, because shepherding is a lonely job now. Out on the dark nighttime hillside with nothing but the moon and the stars, as wonderful as that is, it can be pretty lonely, I can imagine. Those shepherds and sheep were probably glad to be the first ones to see the light of the stars that drew people to Bethlehem. The shepherds went quickly. They weren't very far away. The kings were much farther. But they walked in the light of the star and found the newborn king, who is the star of the world, the light of the world. As we come to the table this morning, it's my hope that we will bow before that light and to recognize that we honor the story by telling the story. How can you do that? I beg you to find a way to relate the story, to tell the story, to take a small mirror, even the smallest one you have. That's about the size that some of us are. But with that tiny mirror, we can catch the light and reflect it and point the way for others to come to the manger. Next Sunday, we will talk of baptism. This time of year, we go into fast forward with the growth of the newborn king. And next Sunday, we'll celebrate baptism together. And we will look forward to that. We will renew our baptism vows in a way that's meaningful to you. And we will share that together. So I hope you'll come and bring a friend. It would be a great day to start out a new year and to share that moment together. As we come to the altar to share in communion, I invite you to page 13 in our United Methodist hymnal. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, O God Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, and so with your people on earth. And all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Hosanna. Holy are you and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering and dying and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night that Jesus gave himself up for us, he took bread. He blessed it, and he broke it, and he offered it to the people who were with him, to you and to me, to the world. And he said to them, "Take and eat, for this is my body, which is given for you. Do this as often as you do it in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, Jesus took the cup, again lifting it in blessing and thanksgiving. And he said to them, as he gave it to his disciples and to us, "Drink from this, all of you, for this is the blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim together the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ and one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. And now with the confidence that we have as children of faith, children of God through Christ, let us share the prayer that he teaches us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. The body of Christ, bread of life, given for you. The body of Christ, Dave, given for you. The body of Christ, John. table. Please come to the rails all the way around the side. Kneel as long as you like. Make your own prayers and receive the gift of King's Hawaiian bread, which is the richest there is, especially when it's blessed as the body of Christ. And a cup of Welch's grape juice. So come as the ushers lead you and come to the altar. Let us pray. Eternal God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery in which you have given yourself to us. Grant that we may go into the world in the strength of your given Spirit to resonate with the light of Christ, to radiate the love of Christ into our needy world. God, we love you and thank you for loving us so dearly in Jesus, our risen Lord and our newborn King. Amen. So if today is a day for you to trust Christ in a new way the first time or to return to your faith, or if today is a day for you to join this congregation, we'd be pleased to stand by your side and welcome you as a member of this body of the United Methodist Church. If any of these is for you today, come as we sing the words of this hymn. Tyler?
Number 254, We Three Kings.
We three kings of orient are, bearing gifts we travel so far, field and fountain, moon and mountain, following yonder star.
From this place, let us grow in his grace, and let us glow with his face, the face of the newborn King. Amen.